Amen. If you got a Bible with you tonight, I hope you do. Turn with us to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. Everybody ought to be able to find that, huh? That'll be easy. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to be looking in verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the yielding of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we bow our heads to you tonight. And Lord, it's such a great privilege and honor and comfort to know that you hear us. Lord, that we come in Jesus' name and in his righteousness. And God, as we look tonight in the fact that you've created each of us in your image, and God, what we ought to do with that, and Lord, how we ought to be resembling you. Lord, we ought to be conforming to an image of Christ. God, I pray you'd help us all to see maybe some areas where we need to improve on, and God, that we'd look more like you. God, you, even in Sunday school, we've seen how that, Lord, nobody's seen you, but they see you through us. And God, help us to resemble you. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all your grace and mercy toward us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we come to this sixth day of creation and we see that God created mankind, it's an amazing thing. Here we are today, and it started out with Adam and Eve. But I really want to focus in tonight on that thought that we were created in the image of God. You know, we spoke last week. I told you last week that if I had to become a one-issue voter, if there was one issue that was a deal-breaker for me that I can't vote for you, it's I got to vote for pro-life candidates. I can't vote for somebody that is for abortion. Can't do it. And one reason why is because those little babies that are in the womb are created in the image of God. God made them. God formed them in the womb. And we were created in the image of God. And so tonight, with that as our backdrop, that me and you were created in the image of God, I want to look at two things about that. Number one is that we, as God is, we are triune in nature. We believe in the Trinity of God. Now, look at what it says. Very interesting thing. And this is the sixth day of creation now. And God says this in verse 26. It said, "And God said, let who?" He said, "Let us." Man, who else is there? He said, "Let us make man in who? Our image." Man, who's God talking to there? It's just him there. He's the only one there. Well, guess who he's talking to? He's talking to that triune nature. We believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And by the way, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was there on the sixth day of creation. Jesus didn't come into existence, sit there in the manger in Bethlehem. He's always been. The Bible says there wasn't nothing made that he didn't make. He was involved in creation. The Holy Spirit's always been. What did it say back there in Genesis 1? That the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And so the Trinity has always been, and me and you are made in the image of God. And I want to tell you something. We're triune. We're a Trinity ourselves. For those that don't believe in the Trinity, This is all, I think it's the greatest point that we can make to prove it, is we can say, well, we're made in the image of God and we're a Trinity. And here's what we do know. We do know that we, now they can be a debate on this, but we do know that we got a body, and we do know that we have a soul, and we do know that we have a spirit. We have three things. I like to call the soul also our mind, our personality, our thinking capabilities is what I would call our soul, and our spirit is what's going to live on forever. Now, you can debate that and say, Brother Derek, I think the soul is going to live forever, and the spirit, you might, that's fine. We can switch that around if you'd like to, but nonetheless, we're a Trinity. I've been there when people died. I've been by the bedside when they left this world, and if you've ever been there, guess what you've seen? You've seen something leave their body. Now, you didn't see it go up into the sky, but let me tell you what, you can tell when it left. You can tell when they become an empty shell and that what was in them is gone. And so we ourselves are a Trinity just as God is. And for those that don't believe in the Trinity, you can say, well, when you die, that's it. We'll just throw you in the ground. There ain't nothing left of you since you just oneness, since you believe in oneness. But we don't. We know that we are triune. But not only are we triune in nature, mind, body, and spirit, but also God has given us, we should have and embody some of the traits that God has. We looked at it this morning. We were in Sunday school and we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit and we were talking about love. And what did the Bible say? It said that God is love. And it said that we ought to be love as well because God is love. And we ought to be living out those things. And so tonight, that's what I want to look at is some of these traits that God has that me and you ought to have. Now, we could preach a series on this, okay? We could preach on it for weeks, but we're just going to touch on some things tonight and move on. And I would like to say that first off, that just as God is an intelligent being, me and you are intelligent as well. That would be debatable, amen, for some of us. They'd say, well, I don't know. But we're intelligent. God is a God of reason. You know that? God does that. He says, well, because of this, this happens. And because of that, this happens. And look, we are also people of reason. You know, I think God encourages us to think. I think God encourages us to ask questions. I'm reminded about the man who came to Jesus and said, asked him if he was who he said he was, asked him about the greatest commandment. And Jesus answered all his questions and the guy was well pleased. Now, Jesus could have said, hey, I don't want to hear none of your questions. He said, you just believe me because however. But Jesus, I believe God encourages us to ask questions. I think it's okay for us to ask why. I think it's okay for us to, as long as we're pursuing truth, amen, and we're wanting to know the truth, it's okay for us to do these things. We are reasoning people. We are logical people. You know, and God is logical. Man, somebody this morning was telling me about they met somebody who was an atheist and they said, man, you can't be an atheist. Just look around. See, that's logical. Right. It's not logical for us to believe that we came from nowhere. Right. That's not logical. You know, I've told you before about we're reading about the creation of God right here in chapter 1. And I've told you before, you might could convince me that down there in that creek, some kind of bacteria evolved. You might could convince me of that. But you can't convince me that it evolved to a man and walked out on the shore. I'm not going to buy that. If it stayed a bacteria, maybe so. But I don't know how it can keep going on. Another reason why I don't understand evolution is I don't understand why we still got monkeys in the zoo. My goodness, what's their problem? They quit evolving, I guess. They not carrying on. But that's logical. And God is logical. And man, I think God is a God of common sense. Man, you read this Bible, you know what this Bible's full of? Yeah. It's full of common sense. Yeah. Just simple things, simple truths. And we complicate it, yeah, and we muddy it up, and we get it all confused. But God is just a simple God. Man, it's salvation simple. And all those things, but that's because God is logical. He's reasoning. You know, just like us as well, and God is a creative God. Yes. And we, too, are creative and should be creative. Cage's got a field trip tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to go or not, but Laura's supposed to go. I might go. They go into global wildlife. And I've been, and I like it. If you hadn't been, you ought to go. It's a good place to go. And guess what you'll see at global wildlife? You'll see the creativity of God. When you're feeding giraffes out your little bucket, you say, man, God is creative. Who would have thought of this thing? And, man, you think about it. I love to go to the aquarium. And when we walk through the aquarium, we find out that God is creative. God could have made one fish and said, you know what? That's all you need. Give you this guy. But he made millions of types of fish and thousands of fish. And, man, they different sizes and colors and shapes and do different things and all sorts of stuff. I like to watch sometimes on TV they've got about sharks. And, my goodness, a shark is a scary thing. I told you the other day that black comedian said if you get ate by a shark, it's because you went into shark's house and you deserve to be ate because that's his house. And but, man, God is just creative. I'm so thankful for the seasons. We talked about that this morning. We got summer, fall, spring, winter. God could have just made it one deal all the time. Yeah. It could have been cold all the time or hot all the time or whatever, but God is not like that. He's creative. But you know what we are too? We're creative, and we ought to be creative, and we ought to think of different ways to do different things. I'm always trying to think of ways to be creative at church and in my sermons and in what we do. And you don't want to continue to do the same thing over and over again and never have any kind of variation because guess what? Things get stale. I'm creative in how I witness to people and how I reach out to them and how I'm going to approach them. And we've got to be creative in all those things. But guess what? We're that way because God's that way. And some people are more creative than others. And in all these things, we know that there are some that are more than others. But man, we serve a creative God, a logical God, a God of reason, and this is who we are. And guess what? The reason I'm telling you this tonight is because this isn't. Well, you're just creative. No, you're made in the image of God.
Amen. Yes.
Man, I've seen some guy. I don't even remember his name. Some of y'all would probably know him if I said his name. But some musician died today, and I was reading on the newspaper about him on my phone. And they were talking about how creative he was, you know, how he did that. Well, he was made in the image of God. Yes. And all these artists and poets and all these people that we say, man, all this, well, they were made in the image of God. And so we need to look at everything through a gospel lens. And the problem is we give credit to that guy when actually the credit should go to God. Because he made me like this. I'm made in his image. And man, if you think you're smart here today, you ought to give credit to the Lord. Say, I serve a smart God. If you got common sense today, you ought to say, man, I serve a God of common sense. But not only those things, those are some natural things, but there's also some other traits that me and you ought to have. We mentioned this morning that God is love and we ought to be loving. You know why we ought to be loving? Because God first loved us. And he died for us. We seen this morning how our love should be demonstrated in actions. I can tell you I love you, but if I never show you I love you, then it's just noise, the Bible said. It said I become like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It really doesn't matter. And then if I do good works without love, that those works become unprofitable. And I told you this morning, hey, Laura's birthday's coming up. I clarified, y'all don't tell her, but she was born November 27th. And for some reason, I always think it's the 29th. That's a problem, amen? That's later. And so I clarified today, and I couldn't remember today if it was the 27th or the 29th. And I'm looking at my calendar on the phone, and I said, so, Laura, your birthday's on Sunday this year. She said, yep. I said, okay, it's 27th. So clarify, check. And I did that. But, man, if I got her a gift for her birthday and I just said, hey, this is what I got to do. I hope you enjoy it. She'd say, man, that was good. No, because my actions need to have love behind them. Amen. And when we do things at the church, it needs to have love behind it. When we teach Sunday school or we serve at the church, if you're doing it because it's your obligation, it becomes unprofitable to you. and it becomes unprofitable to the church. And so when we love people, it needs to be from a heart of love. You know, another couple of things that God is that we ought to be is God is long-suffering and merciful. And me and you ought to be that way too. You know why? Because God is. And I'm made in His image. And I ought not be so hard. I ought not be digging my heels and say, you know what, I'm not going to cut this guy or this lady any slack. I'm glad God cut me some.
Yes, amen.
And I'm glad God hadn't put me down the road yet. And He ought to have. And He hadn't turned His back on me yet. And He sure can. And would be right to do. But God is long-suffering, and He's merciful. And me and you ought to be the same way. And you know what? When we do these things, we show the image of God. And we get to show people the love of God. And we get to show people the character of God. And when we act out of character, it looks bad on God. Because we're claiming Jesus. Amen? We're letting everybody know, hey, I'm a Christian, but I'm not long-suffering. I'm made in the image of God. I'm supposed to be conformed to an image of Christ, but I'm not going to be merciful. And it gives people a bad view of God and a bad view of the church and a bad view of Christianity. You know, Christianity that don't work is not Christianity. Amen? See, real Christianity, genuine Christianity, true conversion means that we begin to display the characteristics of God. There's been books wrote and studies done on the attributes of God. Well, guess what? We ought to be displaying those attributes. And you ought to be patient and long-suffering and merciful with people. Do you know why? Because God has been that way to you. The scripture said this morning that we read that said that we have to be this way to people because of how good God has been to us. And man, what an ungrateful bunch we'd be if God was so long-suffering with us and we're not with others. That God is merciful to us, but we're not going to be merciful to others. It's like the man who was forgiven much. Man, if you've been forgiven much, then you can forgive much. And so God is a long-suffering and merciful God. He's also a forgiving God. And I know that some of you have been hurt, and some of you have been wrong, and some of you have been mistreated, and some of you have been done bad. You know what you ought to do? You ought to forgive them folks. And let me tell you the good thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not dependent upon them accepting your forgiveness. It's not dependent on them asking you that they're sorry and saying, hey, I'm sorry, forgive me. No, that has nothing to do with none of that. Right. Forgiveness has to do with your heart forgiving them people. Yeah. And you tell that you say, I'm going to forgive you no matter what you do. And well, you can like it or leave it or whatever you want to do, but I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't forgive them, it's going to eat at you. And it's going to destroy you. And it'll become a death in your soul and a rottenness in your bones because you hadn't forgave them. And so what good is it doing you holding that bitterness in your heart? What good is it doing holding that ought? I think about what God said to Jonah when he said, does it do you any good to be angry, Jonah? What's it doing you any good? Well, what's it doing you any good to hold that ought against somebody in your heart? You just need to forgive them and let it go. Because let me tell you what, God forgave you of much more than that. Man, God forgave us. You know, I always like that verse, and Laura reminds me of it sometimes. The Bible says husbands love their wife as Christ loved the church, and Christ loves the church unconditionally. And He forgives us no matter what we do. He'll forgive us. And so we need to be forgiving people. You know, lastly, before we move on to off these personality traits, just some practical ones. God is righteous and pure. And we ought to strive to be righteous and pure. And I think sometimes we all kind of use it as a excuse, well, we're all sinners, amen? And we are, but we need to strive for righteousness. What does the Scripture say? It says, be ye holy because I'm holy. That's what God said. And so I got to strive for holiness. The Bible says without holiness, nobody's going to see God. And so I need to strive for righteousness. I need to strive to be just. We serve a just God. Isn't He just? Somebody said recently, they said, how can God let people go to hell? That's not just. Actually, it's more than just. He gave them a way out. He could have sent them all to hell, and the devil would have had an airtight case against every one of us. We'd have been guilty, but he gave us a way out. That's a just God. And me and you need to be just in our dealings, and we need to be fair with our children and fair with those that we come in contact with in a day-to-day. I need to be fair with my wife. I need to be fair with everybody I deal with because God is fair. And so these are some personality traits that we ought to have because we've been made in the image of God. And when we have them, we ought to give God the glory for them. That I was made in the image of God. I'm supposed to be conformed to an image of Christ. And when people see me, they need to see God. They need to see God. You say, man, that's a big statement. It sure is. But when people see you, they need to see Jesus. When they hug you, they need to say, man, I hugged Jesus today. I spoke to Jesus today because one of his followers was, that's what Christianity means, or Christian means, it means a little Christ. And they need to see that in you. And they need to see all these good things that God has in us. And so they need to see our love and our long-suffering and mercy and forgiving and righteousness and holiness. These are things we ought to strive for. You say, how do I do it? Well, we do it by plugging into the power of God. See, I got to let God live through me. I can't be holy, but God can bring holiness through me. I can't forgive people, but God can, and I can through the power of God. I got to let him live through me. I got to dwell in him. What did it say over there in our scripture this morning? We're not going to turn there, but it said that love was a proof. It was an evidence that you're dwelling with God. It was a proof. It was an evidence that you dwell with God. All these things are, by the way. If I'm holy, you know how I'm holy? Because I'm dwelling with God. It means I'm in this Word. What did the Scripture say? I hid that Word in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you. Man, it's an evidence. All these characteristics are evidences that you've been with God. And He'll live these things out in you. If you don't dwell with God, guess where our default setting goes back to? To sinful. Me naturally is an unforgiver. Me naturally is unholy. Me naturally is sinful. But I need God to help me to be able to overcome these things in Jesus' name. But then I want to see, too, some practical traits. You know, God said some things here in these passages that I think come down the line to us. He gave these two people, Adam and Eve, dominion over the earth. The word dominion means to subdue. And he gave them dominion over the fowl of the air, and over the fish of the sea, and over all the animals upon the earth. And then to be able to tend to the things of the earth. And so in that regard, we also ought to be subduing some things. Now, guess what that doesn't mean for me and you today? That don't mean I need to worry about subduing all the fish down in the creek. I really don't care what they do. They can get along fine without. They've been doing it good for 32 years, and I guess they can stay doing it fine. But guess what we do need to subdue? Guess what we need to subdue? I need to subdue my mind. I need to have dominion over my mind. I need to have control over it. I don't need to let my mind think any old thing that comes through it. The Bible says I need to bring every thought captive. And that's what I got to do. You know, somebody asked me the other day, they said, preacher, let me ask you this. And they were asking me about something they were doing. And they said, you think it's right or wrong? You think it's sin or not sin? And I said, I said, anything that's got control over you is sin. If you ain't got control over it, whether that be your mind, your tongue, or whatever it is, if you can't control it, it's sinful. The Bible tells us we ought not have anything master us. And so we need to bring everything into subjection. And every thought, and you need to get your mind under control. You need to get your emotions under control. I've been helping that with that little JV girls basketball team. I'm going to tell you, their emotions are not in control. Amen. They need to get them under control, but they are not under control out there. But here's the bad thing is some of their parents in the stands' emotions aren't under control. And we ought to be able to control our emotions. I ought not let myself get so angry I can't see straight. I ought not let myself get so jealous that I don't know what to do. I ought not let myself get so envious that it causes me. These are all emotions I got to subdue. Yeah. I got to subdue. I ought not let my pride rage out of control or whatever the case is. You fill in the blank tonight. You know you better than I do, but you need to get your emotions in check. And when they're running out of control, you're not the image of God. Let me tell you something about God. He's not out of control today.
Amen.
God's not just running out of control. Aren't you glad He's not? But this earth would have done been burnt up about a million times if He was out of control. He'd say, I've had enough. Woof. Aren't you glad you're not God? Because we would have done lost it a few times. We'd have done lost our mind and let things get out. When you are out of control, you are not displaying the image of God. When you are out of control in anything in your life, when you become reckless, when your mind is reckless, y'all looking at you, has your mind ever been out of control and reckless? You ever let it wander to places it not need to go and you hadn't brought it back into captivity? I have. My mind is crazy. I think crazy things. My mind goes a million miles an hour. It goes from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. I can't sleep at night because my mind won't slow down. It's just going from 90 to nothing. You know what I got to do? I got to bring it in control. I can't think crazy things. And we need to guard against that. I need to get my emotions. And guess what? If I can get my mind and my emotions in control, you know what I can do? I can get my actions in control. Because everything you think, the Bible says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think about is what you're going to become. You can take that to the bank. What you think is what you're going to become. It will come out in actions in your life. And man, if you think in all these things that you ought not, it's going to get... By the way, Jesus was under control, was He not?
Yes, amen.
My goodness, to be reviled on and to be spit upon and to be mocked and all these lied on, but yet it says He answered not a word. You know why? Because He was in control.
Yes.
And we've been made in His image. And when we can keep... Have you ever seen somebody keep under control in a bad situation and you think, wow, had that been me, I wouldn't have kept that composure. Had that been me. You know why you're so amazed? Because it seems to be a supernatural deal. And so we need to be people that have dominion. We need to have our emotions and minds subdued. And then also, I want to say this. Another practical thing about being made in the image of God is, it says here later on in chapter 2, it says that God said about man, and in chapter 2 it gives just a little kind of different dialogue about the creation of man. Same deal, and that ain't no contradiction there. But he says this, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And you know, we're made in the image of God, and we ought to be relational. We ought to be relational. God is a relational God. He wants to have a relationship with you. And God wants us to walk with Him. And God wants us to talk with Him and to experience Him. And I know that we oftentimes take that scripture that it's not good for man to be alone to say that kind of a marriage scripture. But it's just not good for any of us to be alone. Man, when you get alone... I've seen people get alone, and they won't come out their house. They won't go do this and that. And you know what they do? I don't want to say they go crazy, but man, they go crazy. I don't know what else to tell you. They lose it, and it's just not good to be by yourself. Isolation is bad. That's when our mind starts running wild. That's when we start thinking crazy things and doing crazy things because we're by ourselves. And God wants to have a relationship with you, and He wants to have a relationship with me. And we need to have a relationship with God, but we also need to be social. We're social creatures, and we need to have social interaction. That's one good thing about the church. God gave it to us so we can come together and know one another and have friends and be a part of it. I know some of you are not social. I know you don't want to be around nobody. I get it. I can be that way too. But God made us that way. And God is relational. And so we need to be the same way. Family, friends, God. And then, you know, another thing about God is this. This is a good one. God's telling us this 6 days of creation. You know what God is, and we ought to be? God is productive.
Yes.
God gets things done. And me and you ought to be productive in our lives. We ought to go to work, whatever our job is, or whatever. By the way, even if you don't have, maybe you're retired here today. You know what? I read all kind of articles all the time. I read all kind of stuff. And one of the things is people are never ready for is retirement. Some of y'all are saying, I'm ready. Bring it on. I can show you how to do it. But some people don't know what to do with their time. They're not productive anymore. They sit around and don't do anything. And we got to be productive people. By the way, the church needs to be productive.
Yes.
I want when Jesus comes back that we're doing things. Amen. We're getting it done. We're not just running on the treadmill. Amen. But we're seeing people saved. We're discipling people. People being trained up, and things are happening. And we're being not only busy. A church can be busy and not productive. But we want to be productive. We want the things that we do to matter. And we want the things we do to have meaning. And we need to be productive. You know, another good thing about being productive is this. Now, this we're talking about God here. And it took him 6 days to make everything. Now, why do you think that is? Now, he could have done it in one day.
Yes.
He could have done it in 1 second.
Yes.
But you know what he's doing? He's showing us how things work, that things don't happen overnight, that things are progressive. And in our work as the church, I want you to know things are going to progress. I've seen a lot of overnight stuff, and it usually don't last, amen? And what we need to do is do the work of God, and we need to see it happen over the course of time. By the way, we ought to be productive in our own spiritual growth. And you know what? That don't happen in the blink of an eye. It takes a long time. We got to kill sin. We got to get closer to God. And this is a progression. I got children. I got kids all kind of ages. I got 5 kids. I don't know how old they all are, but they all different ages. Amen. And guess what? It's going to take them time to grow up.
Yes.
It's going to take them time to grow. And just like that, in our spiritual life, it takes us time to grow and to mature and to get what God has us to do. And then when we get mature, things change along that way. There's different things for us to do. And so it is a progressive deal. And then I might come and preach a message on this, but I might just touch on it right now. Now, if God did this, we'd be foolish not to do this. God rested. He worked 6 days, and then he took the 7th day off, and he rested. And in America, in some people's lives, being a workaholic is a badge of honor. I don't take a day off, amen. I work every day and all day, and that's fine. You can do that. But God didn't do that. And you can work yourself. Have you ever seen anybody get burnt out? People get burnt out. And I don't want to burn out. I want to finish this thing. I want to finish the race on E. Amen. I want to get there. And if God rested on the 7th day, you'd do good to rest. And you need to take a day to rest. You need to take time to rest. And you know what I've seen some people can't do? Even on the day off, they can't rest. They get so antsy and worked up and going to do all this stuff. You need to learn to take your time and say, I'm going to recoup and recover and rest. You know, I told Laura the other day, I'm not like big on cruises. I've been on 2. They're okay, but they are restful vacations. You're going to get some rest on a cruise. You know why? Ain't nowhere to go. You on that boat, and now Laura run all over that boat on all 12 stories of that thing. But you can rest and get relaxed. I told her, I said, we need to book another cruise. And I'm wanting to get on a cruise to rest. We took 5 kids to the fair. Did we rest? No. Wasn't no rest. Amen. And when we go on a cruise, the kids are staying with some of y'all. Amen. We're going to put them with y'all. And but man, you need to take time to rest. Enjoy yourself. And I like work. I love the work I do. And I like to be busy in it. But you also need to rest, take some time for yourself. And however you do that, everybody's different. But you need to make sure you don't burn out and exhaust yourself. Because by the way, when you wore out and tired, it's a lot harder to keep your emotions in check and your mind in check and your actions in check. It'll strain your relationships with your wife. It'll strain your relationship with how you're working. You wanting to work. You wanting to work, do so good work. Well, you want to do good work, you need to rest. And you need to come and bring it, okay? And bring your best every time. And so these are just a few. Like I told you tonight, we could do a series on this. It could have been a month-long deal on it. But we just kind of touched on some things tonight to move on. And we're not done dealing with the creation of man. But we were made in the image of God. We were made in the image of God. A couple things we talked about tonight. Number one is we're triune in nature. We serve a God that's one God manifested in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He made us in His image. And here we are today with a mind, body, and spirit. Or body, spirit, and soul, however you want to say it. We are triune in nature. And then secondly, God's given us some traits. Personal traits, love, holiness, righteousness, just, merciful, long-suffering, patient. We could fill up a list of those. Personal traits, we're creative, we're intelligent, we're logical, we're all these things. And then some practical traits that we ought to subdue some things in our life. We ought to be productive with our lives. We ought to be, it's a progressive in our life. And then lastly, we ought to take time to rest because God's given us that. Again, I know this was a lot tonight and in a short amount of time. But just remember tomorrow when you get up that you're made in the image of God. And we are to be on display for the world as God's crown jewel of creation. And when they see us, they ought to see Jesus. And when they see us, they ought to see God because we was made in His image. Amen? Amen. I hope you had a good time tonight. I hope you got a blessing from being here. Remember those that we've mentioned throughout the day in prayer.